Welcome, everybody, to the Competition Archery Media Podcast, where we explore all things pertaining to competition archery. I'm your host, PJ Riley, and with us, we have a special guest, the 2020 U.S. Open champion in women's recurve, Alex Zuleta Visser. Alex, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for inviting me. This is really fun. I'm excited.
All right. Well, Alex, let's start off with the basics. Tell us where you're from, and right now I know you're in school. Tell us what school you're in.
So I am from Orlando, Florida, a little bit outside of Orlando, and right now I'm going to school at Emmanuel College in Royston, Georgia.
Okay, and what are you studying there?
I'm studying kinesiology right now. Oh, okay. I switched a bunch of times. I used to go to UCF in Florida. Now I'm heel, and so I think kinesiology will be the one, I think.
Gotcha. Hey, you got time to figure it out, right?
Yes, very true.
What year are you?
I'm a junior.
Junior, so, okay.
I think I have about like 2 years left just because of transferring and the credits and all that kind of stuff. So I think about 2 years.
All right. Now, Emmanuel College, does that have an archery team?
Yes, they have, I think, a little under 30 people on the team in, like, okay. Compound, Rico, Barebow. And so, yeah, they have a pretty developed team here. So it's really nice to – I was at UCF where they just had a club.
Yeah.
And there was no one really as competitive as me and a lot of beginners that went to the club.
Right.
And so it's nice to come here where the school actually appreciates the team and, like, promotes – whenever people on the team go to tournaments or win and all that. So it's really nice. I really like it here so far.
Gotcha. And I read somewhere that you're on scholarship. Is that an archery scholarship or academic?
Yeah. It's archery, yes.
Okay. And now we should mention here. Well, let's start out with the U.S. Open. So that is a tournament, kind of a tournament within a tournament that's part of the Outdoor Target Nationals. Where you competed, and basically it's the head-to-head version result after Target Nationals. Tell me about going through your matches to get to that gold medal match.
Oh, my goodness. So it's funny. I didn't really understand what the difference was between, because I just kind of go to a place and shoot, and I didn't really realize, there's a difference and all that kind of stuff. But the matches, just the whole time I was there that weekend, there wasn't a lot of pressure because of how the season is right now and like the USAT being different with, it kind of counting, but then, the World Cup team is like the same as the 2019. So it's, it's all kind of weird, but there's not a lot of pressure. So I was just like, we're just going to come here. I'm going to have fun with my friends, see everyone again. And, so that was kind of like my mindset and just, try to have a good time again. I'm not seeing anyone for like, 6 months or whatever it was.
When you're going along, you get down to the 1/8 and then you're in the 1/4. Are you thinking like, oh man, I got a chance to get into the finals here?
Yeah, for sure. Once it got, I guess to the 1/4, I was like, oh, wait, this is like medal matches right now. so that was just kind of crazy. This, the whole tournament on the matches day was just crazy. It was raining all day what was it, like a Saturday, I think?
Yeah, and just, I should mention, the women, you shot in the morning, and that's when it was really raining hard.
Yes, yeah, because the men didn't have to deal with anything like that.
Right.
It was like light rain for them.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember, because since it was raining and wet and everything, I was like telling people, I was like, being wet is a mindset. Like, you need to think that you're dry. It's all fake, it'll be fine.
Have you ever shot in that heavy of rain before?
Well, I was at collegiate championship, nationals for collegiate. It was at Newberry in Florida. It was like right after Gator Cup. I think that was like 2018, I think. And it was pouring rain for the matches. And that was really like, that was the first time I've shot that heavy of rain. And then this is like the second time. And then it was raining a lot in Ohio as well. And
yes.
I was like, what is this?
That's a bad pattern to get into.
Yeah.
But
it's fun. It's different. I like shooting with, I mean, I know it's not like, shooting in the rain, but I think it's just a different type of setting you have to deal with. And, you know, it's not the same thing you have to do every day. So it kind of makes everyone more even, I feel, because no one has to deal with that on an everyday basis.
Did you have to make any adjustments, like where you find you are hitting lower or anything like that?
Yeah, I think I did have to move my sight
okay.
a bit low. But I think most of the time I was aiming off just because of the rain. And I think
gotcha.
It was windy too.
It was, yes.
So,
you got
I had to deal with, you know, the tab being wet and my hands being wet and stuff like that. But my body was just kind of wet the
right.
whole time.
So I do not shoot Olympic recurve, so I don't shoot with a tab. Tell me what that's like in that kind of weather. What does that do to your grip and everything?
Well, I think I dealt with it pretty fine because I have a waterproof pouch. So I would either put my tab in I had a towel and I would just put on the towel, wrap it up while I go get arrows and score, or I would just put it in my pouch. But I would, you know, try to keep it dry. When I did the collegiate, the leather would get on my hands, the dye. So my hands turned orange. And so even when I was at Virginia, I dealt with it better. So it wasn't as orange, but still the major problem was the grip of, you know, like your bow hand. Because that would, you know, get wet, and then you take your hand off, you know, when you drop your bow arm, and, you know, rain would get on the grip. So that's a more trouble than the tab, I feel.
Gotcha.
So,
so then you win your last match in the preliminaries. Who was that against? To get to
Nikki Tarina.
Okay. So you win that.
Yeah.
And then what's that feeling like? Holy cow, I'm in the gold medal match. That's going to be on TV. I mean, that's the main show.
Yeah. I mean, Nikki and I are really good friends. And so we were just really excited for each other that whole time. And then we were just like, oh my gosh, this is like, we're in the finals. I mean, she was in the bronze, but like, still, like she made it to the bronze and she was like, oh my gosh, you're in the finals. And I was like, oh, it's TV. I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot about all that. Cause I didn't realize that. Cause Aaron was like, oh, they're going to be at like 4:00. I was like, what? We had to like wait several hours for it. It was just a lot. I was like, oh my gosh, I've never done this before.
What is that like then where, I mean, when you're going through your matches, for those people who don't know, I mean, it's just one right after another, but then you shoot your last one against Nikki. Now you have to sit there. I mean, the men have to qualify. So you're sitting there for like 4 or 5 hours.
Right. Yeah. I left the field, went back to a hotel, you know, took a shower, tried to dry off clothes, and then went to get food. And then I went back to the field and the men were still shooting. But I didn't want to like stay at the hotel. I wanted to get back in the field and like talk to people and just, I don't know. Because I left my bow at the field. So I wanted to get back to my bow, make sure it was okay. I had left it with some people. But yeah, it is strange. Like, you know, you do all these things back to back to back. And then you take this huge break. And we were able to. Yeah, exactly. I was like, that's so strange.
Yeah.
And even I think in some of the upcoming tournaments, the like the gold medal matches is the next day. And it's like, it's so weird. I don't know how I feel about it. It's just different. But it could mess with someone's mental game and all that kind of stuff. Because like, you know, you got into the zone, you kind of figured out your shot, you know what you need to do. And then you just kind of like, take a break and you have to reset. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So now
we were able to practice before the matches,
yes.
But yeah.
So now then you walk out on the big stage, you're shooting against Aaron Mickleberry.
Yeah.
Tell me about nerves. What are, you know, lack of nerves, or what are you, what's going through your mind when that's happening?
So I'm really grateful that my match was against Aaron, because Ho and I are also pretty good friends. We have sort of the same coach. And so I was really grateful that she was there, and she like helped me with like information about what was happening, what was going on. So I was really happy with shooting against her, because she helped me calm down and give me, you know, information that I needed to know.
Right.
So, I mean, we were practicing, we were laughing together, we were shooting with Junso and
Matt Rico.
Matt.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And, you know, we were just joking, and then we went over to the finals, and, you know, we went over. I mean, I felt pretty calm, and I think she, you know, we were just laughing, so I was calm about the whole thing. I didn't really think too much, which is, like, surprising, because I was, like, felt like I would have been, I don't know, overthinking things. I know my, like, the first end during the match, I was kind of like, you know, that first end, you get everything out, you know. You try to keep calm, but still, you know, the nerves are there. So, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. As nervous as I thought it would be, you know.
So, yeah. So you go through, then you win the match, you get to that last end, and this is, well, I'll ask you, is this your biggest win that you've had so far?
I would think, like, at a tournament, yeah, because the other ones have been, I was, like, a cadet, and I won Gato Cup or junior category, but I don't think I've won anything in the senior category in the matches.
Gotcha.
We
should let people know that in that field, I mean, besides Aaron Mickleberry, you had Casey Caulfield, Mackenzie Brown, Katuna Lurick, Eliana Claps.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some awesome women archers that were out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So what's that like when you realize, hey, I just won the U.S. Open, my biggest win ever?
It's just like everything has paid off to get to the, like, all the ups and downs, all the, you know, maybe I need to stop doing this, like, you know, getting not being motivated to practice, all that kind of stuff, all the practicing on day's end, all the missing out on days with friends or activities and stuff. So it's just like, wow, this is actually real. Like, I could actually do more in this sport and progress further, you know?
Yeah, and we should note it that, or we should note that coming into this year, you were one of the 16 finalists for the U.S. Olympic team.
Yes, yes, yeah. That was also, that, before the, I guess the other biggest accomplishment before this would be being on the World Cup team, because that was also really crazy to make and just a really big goal of mine. And then the Olympic trials being, I think I'm tied for sixth in that. That's just also,
right.
It just blows my mind, because I started like watching people in the Olympics, and now I'm interacting with these people I've seen on TV, and that, you know, you hear stories of throughout your archery journey, is like, wow.
Yeah.
I know these people. I talk to them. It's just crazy.
When did you start shooting archery? How old were you?
I was 13.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause it was, the fall of 2012.
And how did that happen? How did you get into that?
My parents and I, you know, everyone always watches the Olympics. And we usually watch like the strange sports. So I used to do fencing. So we would watch the fencing stuff. And then, we watched archery. And it was Brady, Jake, and Wookie were the team. And, you know, so we were watching them shoot. And I just told my dad, like, hey, I want to try this out. And
no kidding.
You know, and he just was like, he researched it and found a place like 45 minutes from my house or something like that, and they had a little league and just started there, and, you know.
No kidding. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then were you in a Joad team there? Did where you start have a Joad club?
I don't think it was really when I was there, it was just like it was with Phil Graves, and he had this little league Joette thing on Saturdays or something like that. But I don't think I was part of the Joette. I guess I don't know if I was really part of the Joette Vale. But then I was kind of part of the Joette that was in Newberry, that it's been dismantled now, I think. But I was part of that just for, you know, the little pins, the Olympic pins and stuff.
Yes.
I didn't really do those, but I caught it. I just used it for that, really. And I guess you needed them for the Joette tournaments. You needed to be part of a club. But I wasn't really active that hugely because nothing was really close by to me.
Okay, gotcha. When did you start? Because we should mention that you were on the World Junior teams in what? There were two junior teams you were on, correct? World teams?
Yes. Yes. It was the one that went to Argentina and then Madrid. So that was 2017 and 2019.
So that's not, 2017, you only started in 2012. When did you start knowing, hey, you know, for lack of a better term, hey, I'm kind of good at this. So,
right. Man, so 2017, I guess once I'd won Gato Cup as, I forget, like a cadet. I think that kind of was like, oh, you know, this is something I could do more.
Yeah, yeah.
Since I won that, or I got second place. Megan Collins won first, but still, you know, that was a big moment too. And then I guess just going to all the tournaments and doing pretty well at all of them and being at least one of the upper people that qualified and all that kind of stuff. So, making that team was pretty cool. Yeah,
for sure. I can imagine. And how did you do that one? The first one was Argentina, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. How did you do there?
I don't think I did really that well there. It was muddy when we went there, and I don't think it was great conditions. I remember there was a lot of crazy stuff that happened there because Anna Moscone had her bow, like, not stolen, but it got lost at the airport and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, no. Oh, I think I remember hearing about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And what else? There was something else. Oh, I didn't know anything about, like, teams. Like, I didn't know that your qualifying score individually makes the team qualifying position. I didn't know anything about that, so we weren't able to do the team part of at Argentina, and so we were really sad about that, because that's like, you know, it's probably the most exciting part, I feel,
for sure,
the team.
And you couldn't do it because Anna didn't have you didn't have enough people.
Well, Anna shot, we had, I think we scrambled, you know, somehow made a bow for her. But I didn't do particularly well there. I don't think all of us really did that well. But I didn't know anything about the whole aspect of how it worked. It didn't go well. And then, you know, I got out in my first match individually, and then we were just all kind of hanging around because we didn't have the team part. And so we didn't shoot that much during that whole week. So it was still fun, you know, interacting and going around town, all that kind of stuff. But yeah.
And then you went to Madrid.
Yes. That was fun. I did battle at that one, but I think I still got out in my first match individually, but we actually had a team this time, and that was so much fun.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
me, Eliana Claps, and Amy Young, and that was so much fun. Cause we called ourselves the Junior Mints, and that we have all these like inside jokes, and because we did it was like nationals, I think a couple like weeks before it, and we did our team match there, and so we brought like our candy of the Junior Mints, and so Yeah, it was a whole lot of fun. There's always a lot of fun going to the tournaments, you know.
And I mean, which is awesome. You're having this good time, but this is also giving you valuable experience, I would imagine, in shooting in that environment.
Yes, of course. Yeah. I wish there were more opportunities for the youth, especially, to be able to go to these tournaments, since, you know, they're the ones that are coming up into the senior division. And, you know, if their first experience going into some international tournament isn't that great, you'd hope that they would be able to continue and, you know, don't get, not devastated, like sad or like upset about the performance. So it would be useful, I think, for having more of those opportunities.
So the World Cup team that you qualified for, that was supposed to be this year's team, correct? So how does that work now? What is that, just carry over to next year, or do you have to start all over?
So they are leaving the 2019 World Cup team, for Recove at least, at the same for 2021. So,
and that is who's on the women's recurve?
It's Casey Caulfield, Mackenzie Brown, Erin Mickleberry, and me.
Okay, gotcha. So if, hopefully, fingers crossed, there is a World Cup circuit next year, hopefully you'll be able to do that. And
yes, that'll be so exciting. It was a little upsetting, you know, hearing about it getting canceled and everything, because I was really looking forward to it, doing it for the first time. But as long as it keeps going, that'll be, I'm excited.
And now Olympic trials, the top 16, you held your positions as well, correct?
Yeah, I believe so. They were supposed to continue the trials sometime next year. I'm not exactly sure of when, but I think that's the plan. Yeah.
So right now we're kind of in between things. Like, are you still shooting every day? What does your archery regimen look like now?
It's basically the same as I would do. It's just I'm not shooting as many arrows as I usually would. I'm trying to go to the gym again. I always have kind of I haven't been consistent when I go to the gym, so I'm trying to get into a schedule more with that, and, you know, trying to balance, you know, school and scheduling everything else of archery. But basically the same ish.
What does that look like with your other teammates there? Are you the only one from Emmanuel College who is who's, you know, one of the Olympic finalists?
Yes, but there's also Rachel and Rogel that they go to a lot of the USAT events, so they go with me. Oh, I mean, we all go to them. But the other people on the team, they usually just do, I think they just do like the collegiate stuff that are required for the school. But it's different being on a team, because I've been by myself basically this whole time that I've been doing archery. And so I think it's better to be on a team like this, because, you know, you can interact with everyone. You're able to, you know, be social during practice and not be by yourself. And, you know, you motivate each other, because, you know, if they're shooting, you're like, oh, I should be shooting. Like, I should be, you know, on my phone or eat, like, you know, doing whatever you're doing. And, you know, if you score, you know, you kind of pushing each other, trying to do better and just improve everyone at the same time. So it's something different that I'm getting used to, for sure. But I'm liking it.
Do you do any, like, obviously outdoor is 70 meters. Do you shoot indoor as well?
Yeah, I do indoor. And I'm only going to do the ones that I need. I'm not a huge fan of indoor, because it's just like so much pressure, I feel. Like, everyone is shooting in the middle. It's like you have to shoot in the middle. So I'm not a huge fan. I like Vegas a lot, though.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Do you go to Vegas?
Yeah, I love Vegas. I hope, hopefully that Vegas happens, but I don't know about that. Seems kind of difficult.
Do you shoot the Lancaster Classic?
I've never actually shot that one before.
All right. So you got to shoot that one. It's fun.
I'm actually having to shoot 3D for collegiate. And that's been pretty interesting and just different to learn about, because I've never really thought too much about doing 3D. I've thought about field, but I would never be able to have done field in Florida because there's no hills or mountains, you know?
Yeah, right.
But the 3D, it's interesting because it's only 30 yards. And, you know, you have the rangefinder, binoculars, the chair. Like, you have all these different things. I had to, figure out sight marks and learn about, leading my body over for the targets being low in the ground.
Yep.
And
40 yards.
My sight pin.
40 yards, that's a piece of, or 30 yards. That's a piece of cake for 70 meter shooter, right?
Yeah. It's It is different. Well, I'm liking it so far, though.
The national championships is coming up here in the next month, correct? For collegiate 3D?
Yeah, it's October, 17th? Yeah, 16th. So, since around that time in Alabama.
Will you shoot in that?
Yeah, that's what I'm practicing. That's what the team is practicing for that right now.
So let's talk about that. What is that like for you normally shooting the big Olympic face at 70 meters? Mm-hmm. Now you're going to an animal. It's only 30 yards, but you can't see what you're aiming at.
No. Yes. I'm having to learn, there's a bunch of different animals and just having to, I'll use my rangefinder, there's a process you have to go through.
Yeah.
So it's look at the rangefinder, see how far away it is. Look at my notes, see what if my sight, try to, guesstimate where it should be. And I'll look at I'm supposed to aim right here. And then I'll pick up my bow and then I'll draw and be like, where am I supposed to aim again? Because you can't see it. You have an idea, but you can't see any of the rings or anything like that.
Yes.
So I'm trying to get used to that.
I'm just thinking out loud here, but I'm used to the compound world. So they adjust the sight up and down, but they got a peep sight, Olympic recurve. You don't have that reference, that second reference. So moving that sight up and down, that's, I imagine that has to mess with you because you know where everything should be at 70 meters.
Right.
But now you move your sight way down. What's that look like?
I mean, I guess it's not that much different, but it is I'm having to move my sight and it's not going to be exactly, where it should be. It's going to be a tiny bit off. And then there's the whole strategy about the 10s or being I'm going to shoot the upper 12 or the lower 12, or should I just aim this straight 10? There's that stuff too. And then about if my sight marks, I thought I would have to move my sight a lot more than I do, but from 5 to 18, they're all kind of in the same area, little clicks up and down, and then after that it's big old margin. So that was interesting to learn about because I didn't really realize that. So then there's the strategy if my arrows usually go higher at these closer distances, should I just aim in the middle and then just call upper 12, and then if I get the upper 12, then yay, extra points, and if I don't, then it's a 10. So I was trying to figure that out as well.
I've only been out on we go to the ASA tournaments, the national ones every year. And a couple times I've been on the Olympic recurve range. And I'm just thinking about this now of how different that is for you folks compared to the compound archers as far as your orientation. I mean, without those extra checks, That
yeah, I can see. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
it
crazy.
It's just something different. And it's a different skill set they have to learn about.
Yeah.
For sure.
So heading into now 2021 is the Olympic year. What are the next 6-7 months going to look like for you? Once you get past the collegiate championships here in October, what does mm-hmm. life look like for you?
I guess then just going back to 70, and Dado Cup will be, I forget exactly the date, but sometime in November. And then that's kind of the end of the season for USET, I believe. So then this training, I guess, continually 70 meters. And I guess then we have to learn about if indoors is going to happen or not.
Right.
But
if there's a Vegas. Do you train at all out at Chula Vista, or are you just training all on your own at school and at home?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to go out there and train whenever those breaks that I have, or going to see my coach, I would go out there. But like right now, just because of traveling, and I think there's a lot of, like, if you travel, you have to quarantine for so many days, and then you're able to practice out there and stuff like that. So right now I'm just going to be either here at the school or go back home when the semester is done. Which the semester is done really early. It's like Thanksgiving, and then I can get to go home. So that's really nice, I think, because I get to stay home from Thanksgiving all the way to New Year's.
Exactly.
So,
So how does it work? Kinesiology. I mean, that's any of the sciences. That's more involved than some of the other majors. How do you balance doing the coursework there with your archery training?
Well, so right now, it's not as difficult because some of these classes I kind of already took at UCF. So it's stuff that I already know a basic idea of. So it hasn't been too challenging as of right now. But I imagine, this was new material, I would be struggling a little bit more and having to focus more on the studies. Or if I don't have any labs right now, so if I had labs, that would be more hands-on that I would have to deal with. But yeah, right now it's not too bad right now. So it was still a little bit of a transition because I didn't go to school for a semester. So it was, it was the spring. I didn't go to school. Yeah, in the spring semester, I wasn't at school. So it was a little bit like, oh, I have to actually focus on school. I have to do my schoolwork, that kind of stuff, get back into the rhythm of it and actually be in a classroom.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, you touched on it a little bit, but as you said, I mean, your first introduction to archery, you were watching Brady, Jacob, and Jake. And now here you are, one of the top 16, 8 years later.
Yeah.
Do you ever stop and think, like, holy cow?
Yes. Oh, it just blows my mind. Like, my younger self would have never, I don't want to say never, but they wouldn't have not believed, like, oh, yeah, you're going to be talking to, like, Brady or Jake or those people, or I haven't talked to Justin, but like just Justin coming back into the game and competing again, or Vic Wunderly, like Vic and Jacob shooting again.
I mean, you're out there on the field with Katuna Laura, guy. What's she been to?
Like, yeah,
5-6 Olympics, something like that.
Yeah, Katuna and Mackenzie. It's
and
just mine.
Not just out there, especially here at the U.S. Open, not just out there competing with them, you're beating them. I mean, if not indirectly, if not directly in head-to-head, in the match play, you end up there at the U.S. Open. And then I guess we should mention you finished second then at Buckeye, at the Buckeye Classic.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that was big too.
So now that one, as I understand it, I was not at that competition, but from what I understood, like the wind was even worse.
Yeah, I think it was worse. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, and it was raining on qualification day, and we weren't able to finish. And there were lightning delays and stuff like that. But yeah, it was really windy and stuff like that.
Do you think your U.S. Open experience helped you then in the Buckeye?
I mean, it definitely didn't hold. But yeah, I would say so. Just I kind of had the same mental idea of, you know, these don't have that huge of an impact, and we're just, you know, all having fun.
Yeah.
Getting back into it.
Boy, so how do you carry that mental attitude into Olympic trials? Sounds like it would work for you.
Yeah. I guess it's keeping the same idea, because I don't even know when they're going to happen. So there was definitely going to be some kind of break between like Gato Cup and then the next stage of trials.
Right. So what do you see? What do you see for you for archery in your future? You know, obviously you want to graduate college, and I'm assuming do something with kinesiology. Where do you see? Do you see archery out there beyond college? And
I would definitely love to keep doing archery for sure. I don't really know what I want to do with my degree. It would be cool if I could do something with the degree involving archery, I guess. But I would love to keep doing it. I just don't know exactly how.
Yeah.
So
is your mind,
it all depends.
Yeah. Is your mind, is your thought now just, hey, I'm where I'm wanted to be. I'm in the Olympic trials, all that. So I'm just going to keep riding the wave.
Yeah, basically, you know, see, hopefully the degree like works out and I like it, and then just keep doing archery as much as I can and to see where it takes me, really. Because I don't know what I want to do, so I'm really just down for whatever opportunities are available to me. So, yeah.
With kinesiology, you could be like an athletic trainer, correct?
Yeah. Athletic trainer, like physical therapist stuff, like coaching. I guess you could like sports management side. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can do with it, which is good and bad, because you don't know what you're doing. You're like, there's so many options. But then there's like, oh, good, there's so many options. I'm not tied down to something.
So what would you tell some of the younger archers? Obviously, Olympic recurve, that is the only path to the Olympics. We don't have compound in the Olympics presently. If you want to go to the Olympics in archery, it's with a recurve.
Right.
It seems like, especially on the women's side, that there aren't quite as many young girls coming up through that path as in some others. What would you tell a young girl who's, you know, thinking about that, weighing that decision? What would you tell? Obviously, for you, it was the right thing to do. What do you tell them about, hey, yes, this is what you want to do. You want to shoot recurve and get in the Olympic stream.
I'd say, you know, as long as you're having fun with everything that you're doing and that you enjoy it, then why not just keep pursuing it? If you have the support system behind you, and if you have like the resources of a great coach and friends and all that kind of stuff, and you're able to do it, then why not just keep doing it? And even if there are ups and downs that come in, that happens with everything in life. And, you know, even if you have to stop for a little bit, if archery comes back in your life, I think it kind of means something that you should keep doing it as well.
Have you had to deal with any, I've heard a lot about different injuries that are kind of unique to Olympic recurve, especially in the fingers. Have you had to deal with any of that?
There was a time, like during Arizona Cup last year, there was something like with my fingers. I didn't really understand why it happened. It was just like my fingers were holding, but then it went away. Like I just kept shooting. I think I had gone up and pounded a little bit, and I think also the dry air, because my coach is in Arizona, so I think the dry air whenever I was training over there would kind of like mess with me a little bit. But it didn't really last that long. I mean, I would get sore like in the shoulders and stuff whenever like practicing a lot, but nothing that I'd have to take a long break from archery for.
Well, let's talk about your setup, because one of the things that always impresses me about, especially Olympic recurve, you know, compound, you may be drawing 60 pounds, but you're probably only holding about 10 or 11. If you folks draw 32 pounds, you're holding 32. What is your setup? Tell us about what bow you shoot and what weight you have it set at.
So I shoot the UCA bow. It's the X Pro 2 Risal with the VX Plus limbs. And they're set at around 37 pounds, I'd say. So it's nothing too crazy heavy, because I'm pretty sure a lot of the other women are shooting more poundage than me. I'd like to get to at least 40. But other than that, I mean, yeah, that's the setup. And
yeah. What arrows are you shooting?
Oh, the X10.
X10, okay.
And, yeah, tungsten points, the spin wings, vanes, okay. Yep. And bite or knock. Yeah.
So 37 pounds, as you mentioned, you'd like to get to 40. What is happening in there that you feel like you'd like a little more weight?
I think just like 40 is a nice round number, and just kind of even.
True.
I think it just would, you know, it's helpful to have the speed, and my bow already is faster. Like I'll have with how my bow is set up, it's even faster than my friends' bows that have a higher poundage.
Yeah, UCA is known for that, having that little extra speed. Their limbs are a little bit different shaped than some others, and yeah, they're known for that speed. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like that part of the UCA for sure, and just how like light it is with the carbon and everything. So my setup really isn't that heavy. I guess I know other people will say like, oh, with the wind, you know, my arm like shakes around all that much because of how light it is, but I don't really have that much of a problem unless it's like a huge gust. I guess it's because, you know, I've gotten used to it and over the years, but you know, just having the higher poundage would be nice.
A little more
but
forgiveness.
It's something that I need to have. Yeah. Forgiveness. Yeah. All that kind of stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now do you shoot the same thing for your indoor, for 3D? Do you shoot the same setup?
Yeah, I'm basically just shooting the same set. For indoor, for sure, I shoot the same thing. For 3D, I'm using like older arrows that are a different spine. So just so I don't lose arrows that I actually need to compete with.
Yeah, losing an X10 or breaking an X10. Boy, that hurts.
Yeah, I was thinking of like using Victory or like Carbon 1 arrows, but I was like, I don't want to have to go through a whole process of tuning a bow again. So I just thought I'll just use these older spines, and they were pretty close to tuning. And I was like, I'm not going to touch anything.
Okay. Well, you know, I a lot of people were surprised to hear this, but when Brady shot his 900 in Vegas, we saw him shooting his arrows, and I mean, these things were flying downrange, hard knock left. It was, they flew so ugly. And I asked him, I was like, man, how do you get those things to tune? And he said, they don't. He said, but I don't care. He said, they hit where I aim. Of course, indoor, that's a different animal than 70 meters. But I just found that funny, you know, because everybody's so concerned about tuning. And here he's like, yeah, no, they don't tune.
Yeah, that's why I think I tried using like fatter arrows one time, but I just, the feeling is different because they are the fickle diameter. So they feel different under the clickle. And then just the tuning, like I would have needed a higher poundage to really shoot the fatter arrows.
Right, because the string reacts different too. It doesn't push, you know, it takes more to push them.
Yeah, it's so crazy, just like these little, I don't know how I feel about tuning. Like, I'm trying to get better at tuning and I'm wanting to tune my things myself. But it's like all these different ways that you can tune a bow, and these little changes just affect the arrow and everything so dramatically. So it's a little frustrating because you're like, oh, okay, so the arrows are going here, and, you know, this is what I have. And you can do like 20 different things to fix it. And it's like, well, what's the best way to do it? You know, it's just like, it's a lot of trial and error, and it can take a long time. And that's, you know, it can be frustrating.
Yeah, since I mainly shoot compound, I always think, our recurve guys here, I'm thinking, man, you got to play with tiller, limb alignment. You can cut the arrow, leave it a little longer, cut a little shorter, heavier point, lighter point. It's all over the place.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, if you go the longer distance, and if they're flying pretty good and they're going where you're wanting to and grouping, then it seems like a good balance of, like, you don't need them to be exactly in the same group and like the bear shot in the same group, you know, as long as it all feels good to you and you're confident in the setup.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it should be fine.
Is that so? Obviously the mental side of archery, that's huge. Well, I talk to a lot of archers about that. When you go into a tournament, what are you doing to get yourself in the right mental state for that competition?
I mean, like, before a tournament, I want to make sure that I feel confident in how everything is set up, that I feel good with how I'm shooting. My equipment's all good. Everything is set up. So, you want to have that side of, I'm feeling good about how everything is headed. I feel good about going into the tournament. And then, I mean, I get there and I'm just talking to all my friends, and it's really strange hearing me say that, because I used to be like incredibly shy and would not talk to anybody. Ah. And
is that before archery?
No, I mean, this early? Was before, only, during. I mean, I think this has only changed like a couple years ago, because I realized, like, the way life is kind of set up is you have to kind of interact with people to get further in life, you know, get the experiences and like networking and like all that kind of stuff. Like, you need to interact with people to really make it in life, I feel, and job, career, like all that kind of stuff. So I was like, okay, you gotta stop just being internal, and you gotta start talking to people and try to build your social skills. And so over these years I've been really trying to be better at that, interacting with new people that are different, that I don't see at the tournaments or all that kind of stuff. So I have been now trying to do that. So whenever I go to a tournament, I just hang out with my friends and talk to them and all that kind of stuff, just trying to have a good time. You know, we all here having fun and we are competing against each other, but I also want to make sure everyone's okay and everyone is good, everyone's set up, everyone is having a good time as well.
Right, right. So you can have fun with Erin Mickleberry, but also want to kick her butt at the same time.
Exactly, exactly. That's what it should be about.
It's not personal.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's great. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Competition Archery Media Podcast. We certainly thank our guest today, Alex Zulita Visser. Alex, thanks for being here with us.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. This was so much fun. It was great. Great to be here.
Alex, we wish you the best of luck going forward. And actually, I guess I should ask you finally, folks who want to follow you in your archery journey, where can they find you on social media?
Oh, yeah. So my Instagram is ZuletaBH. The BH stands for bucket hats because I am a huge collector and fan of bucket hats. So that's what my handle is. You can find me there.
All right, Alex, thanks again for joining us. Folks, this has been another episode of the Competition Archery Media Podcast. You can find this podcast on all the platforms where you find your favorite podcasts. Be sure to go back through our library. We got lots of great content there. Thanks for joining us. We look for you next time.